AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I write y'all, all across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Where are you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Guanamera.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my homeboy,
Big James.
Yeah, you know, of course, MC8 is out there on the football field coaching the kids to victory and stuff. He'll be back in here next week. But before we get started tonight, I want to address a very, very serious situation. James recently lost his father, Mr. Quintus Wilborn. And I know, James, you guys had kind of just got acquainted like later on in your life.
Ed, we really got acquainted at 22. He's always been around, and, you know, I always wonder why he was giving moms money and giving me money. And, you know, I just didn't put two and two together until my cousin, Christine, rest in peace, she basically told me, you know, that's your pop. This was at a younger age. And I really didn't put two and two together until I start going to Texas with my pops, James. Mm-hmm. And his family pretty much rejected me, was telling me I wasn't his son, and I wasn't part of the family and all that shit. So
y'all the jealous stuff.
Yeah, I had to deal with that. And, you know, always wonder why this dude didn't, you know, take up for me. Mm-hmm. So I learned to cuss them out, you know.
Yeah, you talk shit.
Oh, yeah, they was all bitches. They was everything under, they was on everything under the table. They was bitches and everything to me. So I didn't have family like that out there. They didn't look at me like that, like they looked at my brothers.
Like, how's it now? I'm pretty sure it's changed now, by now, this time, huh?
No, well, you know, all of those people are gone now. His mother gone, he gone, his auntie gone. A lot of them are gone now. And, you know, I really don't talk to any of them, but You know, I got two brothers. I still call them my brother, Anthony and Barry, out there. But other than that, I don't really communicate with nobody.
Man, you know, hopefully y'all can change that dynamic, man, to get to know each other, you know, because family is a special thing, man. It can be a special thing. So I'm going to keep you up in prayers, brother, on that, man, that y'all find resolution and resolve in that, man. And, you know, it was a blessing at the age of 22, though, to get to meet your biological father. And that's a blessing, man, you know.
And we hit it off right off the top. You know, he was in the motorcycle club and then asked me, come on, son, I love to have you in the motorcycle club. You'll bring a lot to the bike set. And I was like, Pops, I'm still gangbanging this shit. I don't want to do that. I can't do them both. And, you know, just going up to the club and sitting back partying with him, I went and bought a motorcycle. And I joined the club. And, you know, they wanted to give me special treatment because I was too sweet son, you know, full patch. I didn't want that. And I love that. Because you could have got a full patch just because of me, because you're my son. And, man, I love pulling up on the yard on my bike, and he out there, they drinking and kicking it, and, you know, right now today, still, you know, all the OGs, you know, they still got love for me, you know what I'm saying?
That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing, man. Receive that, dog. You know, receive that. That's a special thing, you know. But tonight, man, as always, man, we got somebody pretty special in the house. One of H-Town's finest, one of the originators down there. And we go get into that tonight. Lil Troy. What's up with your partner?
What's going on, Steve? What's up, James? Hey, man, sorry for your loss, man. And keep your head up, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro.
He'll want you to keep going. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, man. Sure. You know, Troy, you got quite a history down there, man. I know you started Shortstop. What year did you start Shortstop Records?
1988.
So you and the other label across town, Rap-A-Lot, pretty much started around the same time then.
Yeah, like a year, right about a year before me. And but we all came up in the industry at the same time, learning, going through all the trials and tribulations, hard knocks, you know, not knowing the music business. Got to go try to find a lawyer and pay him for his time to tell us certain things or not. We just figure out on our own. That's what I did. Mostly I done. I figured this shit out on my own.
Most of the smart ones do.
Yeah.
Most of the smart ones do. And the first artist you had on the label was, if I'm correct me wrong, DJ Action, now known to the world as Scarface, correct?
Yeah, he was Scarface when it was with me.
Oh, he was Scarface. Oh, so we breaking news now. So Scarface was Scarface before he even got over to Rap-A-Lot.
Yeah. He started off as DJ Action when he first came to me, and then we did that song together. I started Small Time, Dope Gang, Cocaine, Pushing Rocks on the Block, Never Broke, Man. You know, when we did that song, he was talking about me and my little brother selling rocks on the block and stuff, you know, in the village and the dead end and shit. So. And when we made that song, they nobody know my name, they called me Scarface. And then right then, we just started saying, you know what? That's your name, nigga, Scarface. We're going to call you Scarface, nigga. And that's how I started off. It's on the album cover, you know, how we did it and everything. You know, I got a bunch of us sitting on my Cadillac back in the dead end in the village and stuff with all kind of guns all on the cover, sitting on my Cadillac and shit, you know what I'm saying? We were just living the part, what we doing in our neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? My lifestyle. Because at first, Face was just 16 years old when he made that song. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't out there on the block selling no rocks or nothing. That's what we was out there doing, you know what I'm saying, me and my little brother. So, you know, we kept him here a little bit and stayed with my mama, you know what I'm saying? Face used to live with my mom and stuff. My mom used to cook for him and everything, you know what I'm saying? But
wow, okay.
Yeah, that's how I started out back then like that, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so y'all took care of, but you know on this show, man, we like to keep it G at all times. We go definitely talk about the music because it's a big part of your life, but I want to go back to them corners, to them blocks, man, the streets that spawned Lil Troy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, where are you from? Are you from the Fifth Ward? Is that the Fifth Ward where you from?
South Park, the South Side. When you hear everybody say the South Side, the dead end, mm-hmm. I originated out the dead end, you know what I'm saying? So I helped create the culture of what they're doing now in the dead end.
Okay, I got you. And you started off like so many of us, you was out there hustling.
hey, that's the only thing we knew at the time. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way we knew to get some money in order to try to fund our life, our family. And then we started doing business. Only way we knew how to get some money was go out there and hit the blocks. You know what I'm saying? Start selling rocks, and then you move up to 4.5 or 9 of bricks, and then you got them coming in.
Mm-hmm. That's how everybody started off pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we all from the hood. We all from the streets. So it was the hood before music. It was the hood before anything.
Hood. And my man, rest in peace, my dad passed a while back too. You know what I'm saying? He was like next thing to God to me. He the one put me in the game. You know what I'm saying? My old man was a merchant seaman, so he used to go out on them ships to other countries and shit and bring all that work back for the Colombians here in town, right? Mm-hmm. So he get up from the Colombians out of the country. Then he bring it back on the ship. He'll meet the ones he got to bring them to here, give it to them and stuff, right? And then when he showed me how to cook, you know, taught me how to cook, I started cooking for them to let them know how good it was because they didn't know how to cook.
Oh, wow. So y'all was heavy in the game then.
Yeah, my old man put me down. So when I got ready and started making waves and needed more and more and more, I already had people I can go to because the old man was already connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me tell you this, Troy, because we know we got a whole bunch of mutual acquaintances, and you was definitely doing your thing. He's definitely verified, you know? He's definitely verified and certified, you know, and official. Official like a motherfucker. Did you ever start feeling the heat? What made you want to, like, diversify your portfolio and jump out the game? What incident happened that made you say, you know what, fuck this selling rock shit, I got to go do some other shit?
It would never fuck this selling rock shit to a long time, you know what I'm saying? fuck that, I ain't going to lie, man. It was, I'm making too much money in the streets and at the time to just up and stop. But I started doing music because I played music from the third grade in school, and then my mom, my dad, and them had bands, you know, outside playing in nightclubs when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. So I used to go to the clubs with them, and I'm 11, 12, 13 years old, watching them play and stuff, you know, and they practicing at the house. I'm playing in the band in school, so it was quite naturally, it was just in my blood. I was born to be a hustler and to a musician, you know what I'm saying, from old man.
Okay, so... So it wasn't no come to Jesus moment, as they say, that made you say, you know what, fuck this, I got to get out the game. You didn't get robbed. You said you kept doing your thing.
I had to make enough money to put this music out, you know what I'm saying? We ain't about giving us no money. So, that, you know, when you put out an album back then, studio time was high as hell. Studio time was not cheap. Wasn't no CDs, burn no song on no CD. We were burning songs on a 4-high VCR tape. When I put my first record out with Scarface, we burnt the music on a 4-high VHI video tape.
That's for sure. That's them ADATs. For them kids out there, they don't know nothing about that. Everything on the laptop, that's the ADATs.
This before the ADAT. I ain't much talking about the ADAT. I gotta take it back for the ADAT.
Damn, before the ADAT?
A VCR tape is what I mastered Scarface song to and send it off to get it put on wax. Wow. A 4-high VCR tape.
You know what? That was the first big technology right there. That was the first big one. So you talk about going back then, and everything was high as hell. It used to be to go to a recording studio back then, James, like 88, you was going to spend every bit of anywhere from 75 an hour to up to 250.
Yeah, that's when I started. When I first met Scarface, him and Bruce Rose and Beto, you know what I'm saying? I'm hustling. So, you know, they tell me he can rap. I listen to him on over the phone. I'm like, okay. You know, I had that big old brick-ass phone. You know what I'm saying? That big brick phone back then. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And hate it. And I heard him. He was cool. And so me and Beto hooked up. Me and Beto, we was hustling, though, together. You know what I'm saying? Going out of town, selling rocks and packs and everything else all out of town. When you hear Ice Cube say, 4 gangbangers, professional crack slangers. Mm-hmm. I just knew he had done peeped down my life and was talking about me, what I was doing down here. I'm like, how in the hell this nigga, that's what we do. We go hit a block, don't know nobody, out of town, and set up shop. Only thing was different that we weren't gangbangers, though, you know what I'm saying? I never played as Crip or Bloods or nothing, you know what I'm saying? I always just been a G, able to go wherever, fuck with whoever. About making some money, let's make some money.
Well, I'd love to hear how you did that, to go in somebody else's neighborhood just fresh off the bus, out the car, and then pull up and start slanging. Now you open up shop. I know you had a lot of enemies trying to do that there.
Nah, cause when you bring that work and you make it, making sure everybody eat, they love you from out of town.
Okay, but well, see, that's what it was. You was passing it and looking out for everybody.
Yeah.
Had them working.
Yeah, I had made sure that when I got on the block, I find a nigga who's really making it, who doing it, I put him in.
Right.
And make sure he put everybody else in. You know what I'm saying? And okay, I'm going to be out there too. I'm going to get mine, but we got what you need. You need another ounce? You need whatever? Here you go. And I ain't just bust him over the head all the time like that. You know what I'm saying? So I know how to finesse my way in the game with motherfuckers and peoples and shit. You know what I'm saying? And I try to come in and strong arm and just take over and like I'm, now I'll get on. But if I don't have to, and I can get this money quiet as possible and move on, that's what I do.
Smart man.
Shit, that's the best way right
there.
That's
the way to get down.
That's the best way to get down. So what was your spots, Troy? What parts, you know, that's a long time ago, Statue of Limitations. Where were you allegedly at? What different spots was you hitting? What was your hot spots?
All over Texas, mostly Port Arthur, South Side, North Side, Southwest Side. I just go wherever, man, because, you know, my nuts just hung in my socks. But I know I had a good mouthpiece, and I know how to treat people and talk to people and make sure we got that money. It was all great. But when you come over to another neighborhood or somewhere else, sometimes they know of you. You know what I'm saying? People heard, I heard of Latroy. Yeah, okay, that's such. That's Latroy. So they be like, all right, what the nigga got going on? And when I present this money to them, how we going to make this money together? Hey, everything got to go out the window. And at the time, you know, Bloods and Crips weren't real, real big down here. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't really have that said, like, you can't go over here because you gone blue. You can't go over here because you gone red. It wasn't that bad when I first jumped in the game back in the day. You know what I'm saying? And I just stayed neutral the whole time. So right now, you can be at my house back then or at my studio. I have Bloods and Crips in the house at the same time. We all hustling together. Ain't nobody starting no shit because they know I'm neutral. When you come fuck with me, hey, it's all about money. We OGs. We make his money, all right? We hustlers. And that's where I carried myself the whole entire time. I ain't disrespect them. They ain't disrespect me. They showed me love. That's how I just roll, man. I still roll that way right now today.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, big dog. You mentioned the Crips and the Bloods, and I know they both deep down in Texas, all through Texas, ain't they?
Now.
Yeah,
they deep through Texas. When did you notice, what year did you notice the gangs like that starting to infiltrate like Texas?
Really like 93, 94. They really started getting real deep down there then, 93, 94. My little brother, he was a five deuce hoover, you know what I'm saying? And he went to prison at 92. And I went in 91, he went in 92, and I got out at 93. He was a five deuce hoover, and all his hoover friends, Sam and all them big boys that was known, that were ranked up. When I come home, you know, later on, they was like, man, your little brother done put in so much work with us, bro. Whatever you need, man, you just holler, man. You got us, man. I said, y'all know I don't play it. I ain't like that. He said, nah, OG, you done made your way already, bro. You ain't got to. I said, all right, fine then. You know what I'm saying? My little brother right now, still locked up from 1992, done did life sentence. You know, they got life sentence right now.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that, man. Like so many of us, man, locked in them cages, dog.
Yeah.
And you know, now when that first came down there, did that meet any resistance? Because I remember, like, and this is going back further, I'm originally from Cleveland.
Okay.
In Cleveland, what happened with us, it was a whole bunch of L.A. cats that came. Now,
yep.
And what was funny, it was like all the Bloods came into Akron, Ohio. All the Crips went into Cleveland, which is the biggest city, but the Bloods kind of locked down them smaller little cities around, you know, around the big cities. Like, they wouldn't go into Columbus. They would be in Bath, Ohio, or somewhere, Dayton, Ohio, like them other little off-brand places. But I noticed more of them start coming through. Did they come down there on a hustling tip?
They came down hustling. You know, we didn't. I ain't never. I have not one time in my whole entire life gotten to it with a Blood or a Crip. In my whole entire life of being out in these streets and not being in the streets. Mm-hmm. Not one time. They came down here. They was like more... They started what they was doing, but they respected us hustling because we were more H-Town niggas was down there hustling together. You know what I'm saying? We would go hustle from take work to different side of town. They side of town would come get work or whatever. We wasn't on that at the time. You know what I'm saying? For us, me and my clique and my crew and the niggas I fuck with, we wasn't worrying about red or blue. Let's get this green.
I heard the fuck so out of that.
It was never an issue with me. You know what I'm saying? I guess I got blessed to be one of the ones that never had an issue with nobody like that. You know what I'm saying? For us, no gang affiliated.
Well, to be real, you know, to be honest with you, and James, you probably could attest to this. Usually the guys that get caught up is the guys that be out there and there's some shit they ain't got no business into anyway. Cats that usually remain neutral and minding their own, they really don't have too much to worry about often.
Well, a lot of this shit came when the homies just start bringing homies out there just to kick it. Mm-hmm. Them the ones that was hanging out or going to the store starting shit with other people. They were not there selling dope or nothing. They just out there to kick it. And then they wind up living there. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. You know, because it's totally different from being in the hood. See, in the hood, you couldn't get away with all that shit. You go out of town, like going to Denver. You know, when we went to Denver, you know, it was some homies out there that shouldn't have been out there. You know what I'm saying? So I bring two of the homies to come kick it. Now he bringing two of the homies to come kick it. Now they just hanging out doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, the gang banging thing. And that kind of fucked it up. If the hustlers just stayed hustling and left the homies where they at, the game would have been, it would have stayed tighter.
Yeah, because it seemed like Troy had his shit wrapped up tight because y'all ain't even had to go out of town, niggas, y'all. Y'all just go around Texas and be good.
You know, then I had a group from Kansas City, right, called Mass 187.
Uh-huh.
And, they were Crips. You know what I'm saying? And they ride around with their KC shit on all down here and stuff. I had to get them straight. Hell up, man. I respect what y'all got going on. Y'all signing my label. But I'm a hustler. I'm OG in this game, man. We don't just go trip because they got on red or they got on gray or they got on orange or whatever. So when y'all be with me and you see these dudes come around, don't y'all start tripping. They're going to respect that y'all. They're going to respect y'all, too, because who I am, they ain't going to just start no shit because they know we're going to have a big old falling out if they do. So I had a group that was Crypt. And I remember going to Kansas City with them, you know what I'm saying? Going promoting Kansas City and go to the club. One side of the club is all Crypt, other side all Blood. When they get on the dance floor, they dance and they go back to their side of town, they side of the club. And I'm like, wow, what the fuck? I mean, how y'all getting money like this? You know, I come down there to get some money. I brought some work with me to go promote for y'all and for me to hook up with everybody down in the city. I got me a new trap spot down there in Kansas City and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we named the album Crooked City and all this here. So I'm like, oh, man, this ain't gonna work, bro. We need to make some neutrals type shit. And it didn't really work. It did all right, you know what I'm saying? But I noticed that at that particular time, that was in like 96 when I signed them in 1996. Mm-hmm. 96, 97, when I signed the major label they was having little issues and stuff because they couldn't go everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Because when they go, they flagging. Everywhere they go, they flagging. Totally. So when I go with them, we going to other places, the other side of town and stuff. Motherfucker knew I was. They like, Detroit, your boy's tripping? I said, nah, man, they just what they're from Kansas City, bro. They just down there with me, man. They my group. They good. I mean, but I had to really talk to a lot of other people because they thought, they was flagged, you know, if you flagging, you about it.
Right.
You know? And to the day, I have never learned not one of their gang signs. Now, I can't throw up not one sign. And I had some Crips with me as my artist. I done signed a deal with people out of New York. We getting money. But I didn't never let them, what they were doing, drag me into what they had going on. I never let what they was doing drag me into it. I feel like, no, I'm going to drag y'all over on my side where I'm at as being a hustler. That way we can go where we want to go and do what we need to do. But I felt it a little bit when I had that group. Other than that, I never had no issues nowhere.
Hey, let's pay some bills real quick and we get right back to y'all.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you out there hustling and doing your thing. You said you went and sat down and did a bid in 91, right?
Yeah, 91. I went to bid, did a bid in 91, come back in 93.
And that's when you came out, and that's when Shortstop Records really started cracking and doing their thing, right?
No, I went to jail. I already had put out Scarface before then.
Oh, so you had already put out Scarface and went to jail and came back out and jumped in the game again?
Yeah, I went to jail in 89. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I put Scarface out of 89. I went to jail in 91. And now I come back in 93. I was out here by myself. My little brother was gone. It was like my little henchman gangster at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So then I started doing, that's when I put out Mask 187, you know, and I put out another little group and stuff in 96 and 97. Then I was like, fuck this shit, man. This shit ain't gonna work. I got to put myself out. Tell you what, I put myself out in 1998. Sitting fat down south. I say, I put myself on the cover. I got an X500, big old Mercedes Benz coupe. I got Rolex. I got jewelry. I got the money. And people know who I am. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do my own album. So I did my own album. And then I put everybody out the neighborhood on my album. And it popped off because I was never afraid to go nowhere and promote my shit. You know what I'm saying? When I had the other groups, they can't go everywhere because they flagging everywhere they go. You know what I'm saying? So I can go to any car wash, any beauty shop, any hood, neighborhood. I jump out in my big old Cadillac or my coupe Mercedes Benz, and I got CDs, I got cassettes, and I got all this shit. I'm selling shit every motherfucking day. You know what I'm saying? I was hustling. I took the game from selling rocks to selling. First, I started selling cassette tapes when I had Scarface.
And you know what? And to be real with you, the Sitting Fat Down South was your label's biggest selling EP of all LP of all time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sitting Fat Down South. You know, that's when I put that Wonderville Ball and all the other songs on there. You know what I'm saying? But that was me just putting other people that know how to rap out my city on with me and let me go promote it. Let me be the face. Instead of me putting somebody else on the face. And they don't want to leave their high, they don't want to leave their gal, and they don't want to go promote. And nigga, I'm in the clubs every night. I'm in the hood every day. Every day I'm leaving out the house, I got a bunch of wax. I was selling wax at one time. The 12-inch vinyl.
Yeah, the vinyls. Yep, the vinyls.
I used to sell 12-inch vinyl and cassette on the corner, in the hood, everywhere. You feel me? Then when I did Sit Fat Down South, I put it out, and then I called a case in 98. Right? Uh-huh. I caught a case in 98. And so I come back and say, you know what? I'm going to still put this album out. I put the album out, and while I'm fighting the case, the Fed case and shit, the album pop off.
Popped off while you was fighting the case, huh?
While I'm fighting the case. So come November, I signed for some time. Now here it is. I got a video playing on BET, song playing and everything. You know what I'm saying? So when I had them to give me some extra time, and I went on and got it promoted right, kept it going. So, and I shot a movie while I was gone, before I left. I shot a movie in 12 days. I shot my parts in 4 days. So I let my people put the movie out, and I went and sat down in January, end of December to January, December, went to jail. I sat down there a year and a half, 18 months. Yeah, I come home, that's when I signed with Universal.
So you didn't go major till you came home?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, man. You had an incredible journey.
I signed a deal with them, you know what I'm saying? I signed a deal before I went to jail. But I couldn't go promote or do nothing. But it already had legs, you know what I'm saying? Tony Draper had called me and said, man, these people down there in New York looking for you, bro. I said, who looking for me, T? He said, man, Universal Records trying to sign you. I said, man, I'm going to go to jail, bro. He said, man, they trying to holler at you, bro. So he put me on the phone with Monty Lippin and them. Then they flew down the next day because I had a show. I was still doing shows before I went to jail. They came down, hollered at me, flew me to New York the next day. I did a deal with them. And then I came back home. And a month later, I went to jail.
Now, Troy, did you tell them white folks you was going to jail when you went down there and signed that paper with them?
No, I ain't tell them. I ain't know exactly what I was going to get yet, so I ain't no need to tell y'all nothing until I get it straightened out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real. Shit, ain't nothing wrong with that. When you say, I'm going to go get this check before I go to jail, they ain't got to know that. I'm going to go get this check, and they going to figure it out.
They trying to play me at first, though. They ain't think I knew the paperwork and knew the business. You know what I'm saying? They flew me to New York by myself, but I called my lawyer in Philadelphia. He drove the train down there. We end up going over paperwork, and they see me reading everything line for line, line for line, line for line. No, I don't like this. Just don't take this out. Take this out. Take this out. I mean, they was tripping to see my lawyer not doing all that, and I was doing it. But I've been reading books about the business. You know what I'm saying? When I go to take a shit, I sit there and read a book. While I'm on the corner hustling for a little bit, I go sit there and read the book. We ain't had the internet then, so I had to learn the business. So after I went to jail, I called them about 4 months before I started getting out of jail. Right, I say, y'all, look here, I'm finna get out of jail. We need to start a big ball of shot caller, walk to walk, talk to talk, fresh off lock. We need to start doing all this, get some shit going on. You know what I'm saying? They was like, nah, Troy, we're gonna have to wait till you come home and all this shit here. I came home, I ain't must fuck with them no more.
Oh, so you just told them to give you a release?
Yeah, let me show y'all play this side, right? When I come home, I tell Monty, you know what I'm saying, hey, Monty, here go my album cover. I want to put my album out. He said, Troy, man, we need to, this is my release date. He said, Troy, we can't give you no release date till we hear the music. I said, what you mean you need to hear the music? He said, well, the A&R department need to hear what you're going to put out. I said, hold up, I'm the A&R. When y'all heard my album, it was already out selling and everything. That's why y'all came to me. So I'm not finna send my music down there and let somebody hear my music and tell me what they like. That's not what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't want to give me a release date. I said, all right, well, I'm going to just put this motherfucker out of my goddamn self. Monty, come on now. You trying to stop my livelihood. So he said, you know what, Troy? We done made some money together. You've been great artists. And ain't no problem with you. I'm going to release you. I said, cool. So he released me. The next day, the 2 days later, I wait. I say, Monty. I call him, hey, Monty. Hey, Troy, what's going on? You coming back? I said, no. I ain't get that check yet. He said, what check? I said, that pay or play check for $150. He said, look in the contract. Either y'all put my next album out, you gotta give me $150 and you still gotta pay me. He said, let me call you back. He hung up 10, 15 minutes later, called me back. Hey, Troy, it's in the mail, you had tomorrow. I had to pay or play in the contract. If they ain't put my album out, they had to pay me.
Now that's some cold shit right there.
So I got $150 from them just to let me off their label.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, that next shit you put out blew up, didn't it?
No, it ain't. No, the World Trade Center blew up. I put the album out with Koch. I went to Koch and got a 60-40 deal. So now I'm finna really get paid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm finna get paid. So, but the album came out September 11, 2000. Koch, and it fucked up everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, rest in peace to all the people impacted in that. Because we not laughing at that day, ladies and gentlemen. We laughing at the situation he was in because everybody that put a record out that week flopped. Everybody, last person.
it was a bunch of us. It was a bunch of us that put a record out that day. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of us that, I can't think of everybody's names, but it was a bunch of records, a bunch of albums that put out that day and everything just went sour, you know what I'm saying? And my business, it took me under, because when I got resigned with Koch, I had a big old ass, like a little mansion, like not a little mansion, down there, a mansion, really. All the cars I wanted, the Mercedes, the 3 Mercedes Benz, the Cadillac, the vans. I had Navigator. I had everything, all the jewelry I want. So now this deal with Koch, I'm getting 60-40 of the deal. I can, you know what I'm saying, relax and you know what I'm saying, kick back now. But shit, when that happened, that made me go underground. I mean, that took a lot of people out of business. I just never jumped off the building to kill myself or nothing, you know what I'm saying? But my money dried up with Universal, money dried up with Koch, the money dried up with Southwest Wholesale. We was all just like, whew.
Well, I'm going to tell you about that not. Southwest Wholesale. See, James, Southwest Wholesale was a big distributor down there.
Mm. Yeah.
All the, because them cats in Texas were selling a bunch of fucking records, didn't have to leave Texas. Them motherfuckers that filed bankruptcy, and all I remember is motherfuckers calling my line that day, talking about, man, if these motherfuckers don't give me my money, something gonna happen. You remember that day when Southwest Wholesale like filed the bankruptcy shit and they closed the doors?
Yep. Look, before they closed though, right, I'm saying I done made almost like $500,000 fucking with them, right, on one Bill Baller. Mm-hmm. And then when I still had about, I think, 20-some thousand records still sitting on the ground, Southwest Wholesale, when Universal came and picked me up, I made a deal with them. Let me sell off my catalog first before y'all put y'all shit out.
Damn.
I got some more money out there.
He a cold motherfucker. Troy, let me ask you this, because you got a brilliant business mind. Do you ever consult? Because I notice it's very few of the artists in Houston wind up getting fucked over. You know, it's a few of them that do, but you don't hear a whole bunch of them horror stories. Do you usually game the young homies up before they jump in the game?
And they don't come ask. You know what I'm saying? Hey, a closed mouth don't get fed. But a lot of them, they don't feel by the wayside. You know, they ain't get the money they supposed to get. They ain't making money off a lot of the stuff they've been doing. It's just not publicized or nothing like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
You know, if they come and talk to me, I'll lace them up.
Yeah.
You know, Universal Records don't must have my masters. James, why you looking at me like that, James?
I'm just sitting here tripping that this brother's sitting here and you know, because I'm on the other side where, you know, I've seen the pimping going on, but the pimping is what I'm listening to right here. You actually getting your money without the BS. You know,
when I gave Universal the album, I gave them a CD and they made copies off of it.
You just gave them the album that you had already put out and said, here you go, press this shit up.
Yeah, make y'all some copies. they can't remix not one song of my shit. I got the reels.
So let me ask you this. So you didn't give them niggas none of the files, none of that shit. You just gave... Troy, you know why we laughing, because I love it, dog. You beat them motherfuckers at their own game pretty much, and you were so hot in the streets, they couldn't do nothing but accept it.
They asked me why back for the reels and all that. I got to give them together. I got other songs on there. I got to transfer them, and I ain't never gave them shit.
He said he gave them motherfuckers.
They just let it go.
Hey, what, they going to come down and take it?
No, they ain't going to do that.
They ain't going to do it. You know what? So one thing I always wanted to ask you, because you clarified something. Scarface had the name Scarface before he went over to rap a lot. What made you decide, like when that happened, like you don't put all your time and invested your energy into this artist, man? You say he was staying at your mom's house, then he come to you and want to go somewhere else. How was that? Was that a hard conversation?
Hell no, because I was making some money in the street. I ain't made no money with Scarface music yet. That wasn't no big deal. You know what I'm saying? It was like, shit, go ahead. I ain't tripping on that shit. Go ahead. I'll get another artist. I ain't care about that shit at the time. You know what I'm saying? And then when the James guy put it out, he called me and told me, you know what I'm saying, he needed to holler at me. You know what I'm saying? So he came and talked to me. I said, Jay, man, I ain't worrying about that, man. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to do with Face, you can do it with Face. I don't care about that. He said, look out, Troy, this is what I do for you. Once I get it popping, I get it going on, I'll come back and look out for you and give you some distribution or help you out some kind of way. I said, all right, well, holler at me when you get it popping then. I ain't tripping. But as to right now today, he ain't never helped me out yet. I went to him for a favor, and he ain't give me the favor I asked for. Hey, it is what it is. I kept it popping.
You just kept it moving. Let me ask you this. When the when your song blew up, Wanna Be a Baller blew up, did he come try to holler at you?
Everybody did. They tried to get me to put my album, my song on the Realest Niggas Down South album. When they came out, the Realest Niggas Down South, they wanted Be a Baller to be on that. I was like, no, y'all can't have my main song. I'll give you one of the other songs, Fuck Them Niggas or Bitch in My Book or something. Y'all can have one of them songs, but Other than that, we ain't had no ties together, no kind of way. You know what I'm saying?
Now you from South Park?
Yeah, South Side. Yeah, South Park.
South Side. Y'all used to have a lot of beef. Like I noticed down there in Texas, this used to be the North Side against the South Side. That shit used to jump off, didn't it?
Yep. We still went to the club out there.
Y'all still went to the clubs. There was a lot of niggas getting their cars took and all kind of shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was back in the day. But you know, I ain't never had nobody take my car or try to take my car or try to jack me or nothing. You know, so I never had that issue. Most of them knew me. You know what I'm saying? And they used to call me Little Uzi Man back in the day. So you know, I had that little man complex too. You feel me? Back in the hustling, I ain't have no big brother, so I'm my own big brother. You know what I'm saying? So we made it through all that shit like this, like that. You know. Cause I said, Jay, man, look, I got a couple bricks to the side, bro. I was doing Mass Wednesday. I say, man, give me $75,000 and I'll pay you back. Ain't no contracts and nothing. Just loan me the money and that way I can have some money just to keep on flashing. I had a couple bricks need to get rid of here and there and shit. But I say, I need some money and I need some contacts. He say, shit. Contact more important than the money.
You sound just like that nigga too, dog.
I never forget that, man. Mm-hmm. I say, well, give me both. He say, man, we'll talk about it, you know what I'm saying? But at the time, I think I went hit a lick or something, you know what I'm saying? I ain't need it. So I never really went back and pursued it and asked him for it, you know what I'm saying? So it was all good.
Yeah, you know, Troy, and the thing is, man, everybody I talk to tell me what a real catch you is, man. And me us just sitting up here to talk to you, man. It's refreshing to be able to talk to a motherfucker that actually got some backbone to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? And so you having all this success going on, you did another stint in jail, didn't you?
I just did that one in the feds stink. When I got out the feds, I ain't been back.
Oh, so you've been living clean since then, man. With all the stuff going on and like with all the stuff that's going on like in Houston right now and in Dallas, like all the killing and stuff that's going on, man, what you think about that down there? You think these cats are just too influenced by what's going on TV and everywhere else?
They're too influenced by something. I don't know what the fuck it is, because we just wasn't killing each other like that at the time. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. You know what I'm saying? You can't fuck with me, you're gonna get the business. That's just it. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I'm trying to make some money with you. I don't give a damn where you from, what's going on. Let's make some money. You know what I'm saying? Even when I was locked up, I was looking out for motherfuckers when I was locked up in the feds and shit. I'm looking out for motherfuckers down in the feds. I'm looking out for niggas that I in the world keeping them popping because, they, you know, I was a main source. So I still was able to, you know, make things happen for them while I was still in the feds and shit. You know what I'm saying? And, then I had money coming in from Universal, too, you know what I'm saying? So I was good until Scarface sued me. Until I get the letter, my lawyer, my wife, well, my girlfriend, rather, the time, they come to the feds. I said, damn, Warren, what you doing here? Oh, Poppy, I got some bad news for you. I said, what you mean bad news? What's going on? Scarface suing you. I said, for what? He said, well, he's suing you for $500,000 because you put that song that you did with him on your album and you used his vocals. I said, man, that nigga ain't suing me for real. One said, man, they suing you, man. And so I worked a deal out with Scarface. I gave him $220,000, you know what I'm saying, you know, off the album. Universal paid him on my behalf. And then, you know, I got out. You know, me and him had some little issues and shit going around for a little while. And beef, it was like on TV type beef, on wax beef. We never had no issue when we seen each other, nothing like that, you know. And now today that we're good friends, you know, we talk every couple of weeks, or we see each other, we laugh and talk about it and all this stuff. But, you know, when he sued me, I was pissed off like a motherfucker, $220,000. I said, what this nigga need to give his bitch a condo, or this side piece of condo, buy a car or something? Pushing that, nigga, I don't help you, I got you started, now you want to sue me because I sampled your voice on a song of mine. You know what I'm saying? You want to sue me. Yeah, but I settled with him.
Yeah, but you know what's good to hear, though, man, that y'all both grown men about it and y'all put that shit behind y'all and y'all kicking it. You know what I mean?
Oh, it took 10 years. It took over 10 years, though, before we started kicking it, though. We were beefing, talking about each other on songs and and podcasts and everything else for a good while. It went down.
So he actually got you out of your character. He took you out of character.
No, he didn't take me out of character because it'd have been one of us wouldn't have been here. I didn't get out of character.
This nigga.
Hey, I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah, so I knew I couldn't rap against Scarface. He made songs about me, and, you know, saying they talking about me and stuff. Okay, that's cool. So I made a DVD about him. I put a DVD out on him. You know what I'm saying? I know how to win the game. I'm gonna win the fight. I might not win the way you want to play the game. Right. I'm gonna play the game. I know how to win the game.
Now, since y'all good friends now, and this all stuff this out in public record, I never got to see the DVD. What was on the DVD?
Oh man, boy, look here, Paperwork. It was called Paperwork. A friend of mine, I didn't know him. Little nigga got out of jail, and Scarface was on his Paperwork, and he came holler at me, Little Troy. Say, man, I hear Scarface them talking about you, bro. I'm from South Park. Where you at, bro? Hey, look at these papers right here, man. Don't let the nigga get away with it. And I seen the paper and read it. I was like, whoa, okay, hold up. Got my angle back now. Cause I can't out rap Face. Ain't too many motherfuckers around here gonna out rap Face, period, on no record.
Oh no, he's so one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I put a DVD out at the time and with a soundtrack to it. And I had them motherfucker people so scared to look at it. People like, I don't wanna see that. That's too real. It was too real. Some of the record stores didn't want to pick it up. Dudes were like tripping. How the fuck you get this? What the fuck? I mean, they was tripping on how I put a DVD together and told a whole life story of me and FaZe and my life and everything on a DVD and with the paperwork and shit. Oh, man. I would go out of town. If I find out he was doing a show, I would go out of town where he going to do a show at and pass out flyers and stuff. Look who's talking now. Scarface of the Ghetto Boys. And give out a bunch of DVDs.
Yeah, you stabbing him.
And you know what's called? That he was stabbing him. Not only that, he went and made some money off the beef. He said, strategized and said, I'm going to make some money off this shit.
But y'all are good friends now. Y'all cool now.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, he came back and tried to sue me and stuff and everything again. And we met up and talked. And we boys now. I can talk about the shit now. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no problem. You know, I usually don't say nothing about it too much. Cause we boys now, this shit behind us, but that's a part of our history. You know, history, you can't omit history.
Well, that's cool. And the thing is, that's all water under the bridge, though, big
bro. Oh, yeah, water under the bridge. Man, I probably see if I can call his ass on the phone right now. He has a phone. What up, OG? First thing he's gonna say, you know what I'm saying? And we laugh and talk.
Yeah, we did Face and Willie D a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Face and my little brother talk on the phone all the time from prison. My little brother so lied down, I need to put his ass on the phone, right, y'all? This nigga got a big old 35-inch TV hanging from the burglar bars, carpet on the floor, everything in prison. Headphones, his radio, his cell phone, and everything.
Oh, you said you call a nigga right now?
I'm gonna see if I get him on the phone on FaceTime.
Call him right now. Shit.
Yeah, that's how I really look.
Call him now. Let's all
at him. Man, my little brother so lied down there, man.
Gangsta Chronicles exclusive, y'all.
Gangsta Chronicles, you know what I'm saying? He a Crip. You see what I'm saying? He plays when he was 17, and he still, he don't just out doing active. He tried to talk to him about life now because he's much older and stuff.
Right.
But he and all of them know him, you know what I'm saying? Everybody know him in the prison. I mean, he just like that. Let me text him right quick. He's gonna get on the phone though. You know, he gonna call right back. I hope he call right back while y'all here.
Oh, it's cool. We got us a little time.
Hey,
Okay, we finna tap in with some of the sponsors that help us to bring y'all this amazing content.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you know, Troy, one of the things I was going to ask you, man, we talking about Houston. Is there a divide between Houston and Dallas? Because it seemed like Dallas like a whole different damn state when you go out there.
The whole culture is different. Dallas and Houston like two different states.
That's like Northern California and Southern California.
It's like two different states. You know what I'm saying? We don't fix our cars up like they fix their cars up. We don't dress like they dress. We don't have no haircuts like they wear. We don't drink, you know, we drink syrup and shit down here. How we start that shit down here. They don't do that shit down there in Dallas, up there in Dallas like we do here, you know what I'm saying? But now, we be trying, Dallas niggas try to come out and do songs with certain Houston niggas and stuff, try to get on, but it's never made nothing pop. I don't know why. It's just never been a big Dallas-Houston connect, and they doing a bunch of shows and songs together and all that. It just ain't never just popped off. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I go to Dallas all the time.
That's crazy. You know, you mentioned that Cert, man, and it's a big opiate epidemic in the country, man. It's people, like, especially in the Midwest and the South, dog. And even out here, people is on them pills now. What do you think about that whole SERP scene? Do you think that, like what do you think about that? Because it was a big part of the culture, man. And that shit went nationwide.
Yeah, and I was one of the ones that were putting it out there.
Troy don't give a fuck, do
it. I'm one of the main ones that was a contributor that everybody was getting from.
Boy, I bet hanging out with you would be a motherfucker. Just hanging out with you, have a motherfucker laughing.
Oh, dog, we go to Houston. Troy gonna be our host, dog. I don't want to fuck with nobody else but him.
Man.
I had to connect with it, you know what I'm saying? And we did it, man. And I say we did it, man. It was enough for us to have 200-300 gallons at a time.
200-300 gallons? And how much that shit go? How much is a four? How much do a four go for down there?
We were doing gallons like 1,800 a gallon at the time.
1,800 gallons, that should be about 3,200 about now, about 3,200.
Man, we on Gangsta Chronicles. We adding up drugs and shit.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, man. No.
Shit, fuck that.
No, I'm sorry. This is just alleged behavior to any law enforcement. Listen, this is just a conversation.
Back then. That what it was back then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I tell men, if you ain't catch me back then, you miss me. You shot straight but shot late.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't been involved in nothing illegal. And shit, since I got out of prison back then, when I got out from sitting fat down south, you know what I'm saying? I ain't involved with nobody at all. But I did tell you this, I bought some land up in Susanville, California, right, 40 acres, and put me 72 plants in the ground down there.
Right. Oh, so you jumped in the weed business then?
Yeah, and they made me jump right back out the motherfucker. The police called me. My son, sent my son down there to learn how to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
So he down there learn how to cultivate. And you know, I paid for all the seeds, the soil, everything. We got plants in the ground, 72 plants. police flew the helicopter over and seen that we seen the plants on the ground coming up. They called me, because my name is on the deeds of the land. They called me, asked me, did I know somebody on my property, you know, growing marijuana? Yep, we got our proposition 314, whatever the proposition was that we had to have to grow marijuana. I said, we got it. She said, well, I see that y'all don't have a dwelling house on the property and a 50-foot well. I said, well, we're working on that right now. So I go and find a mobile home. I buy the mobile home, but the same day I get it, I call the people about trying to get the well dug, 50-foot well dug. Mm-hmm. Can't get no well dug, city ain't giving no permits.
Oh, so that sounds like that whole little play. They got a whole little play going on.
They played everybody up.
They had to shut him down that way, though.
Yeah, that's how they shut me down.
Because if you got it, then everybody else would have been doing it. You'd have seen mobile homes and wells all over that motherfucker.
Yeah, but see, now if I knew that we need a 50-foot well dug, I could have dug the well time I got on the property. You know what I'm saying? It was already there when I got there. I could easily say that. You see what I'm saying? Before I start planting out. You know, it take a while to get out, get your plants start growing and get big. I could have been dug a well, but they never said that. And so my boy and my son then went to the town hall meeting. Them people was cussing like a motherfucker because everybody up there in Susanville that had been selling marijuana and been growing it all these years, they never had to have a 50-foot well dug.
Yeah, you know what they saying, though? I was looking at some shit the other day on TV, and they saying, man, that they taxing them people so much with this shit, man. A lot of them people going out of business, dog. They said it's forcing motherfuckers to where if you ain't got no your street connects with the shit and still hustle on the side, you go out of business.
You work for them, man.
Yeah, pretty much. They're making it to where a lot of people that's been in Big James, family-owned businesses that go back generations. Like, yeah. To where that's what the grandpa did. That's just what they do. He said, man, they thought it was going to be better. They pushed for legalization. They said that shit putting them, almost making them homeless.
Well, they sure knocked me out the box on a nice grip of buying the land and, you know, getting up, them staying out there, living out. My son is a rapper here. I told him, hey, man, dad on something else right now. Go down here in California, stay on this property, learn how to cultivate. They're going to be our kids' future. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, he did it, but the county, you know what I'm saying, made me take all them plants up. I had to take all the plants up.
Well, this should go now. It's good. It should be good now.
I sold the property. I ain't want to deal with it no more. You know what I'm saying? It was like...
Right. Yeah, you just had you so frustrated. But you know what, though? If you could have held on to that land, Troy, mm-hmm. you'd have had your way eventually on that motherfucker, dog. Because I know it's people making you know what? I just can't... I ain't going to talk too much about it.
I had never seen the land before. I just bought the land off. Just bought the land. They came down there and we did the deeds and signed the papers here. You know, they had a notary here. I bought it from somebody down there. And I'd never been to California, never seen the land, never stepped foot on the land at all.
Twice I just knew said, one mission, green.
I just was I invest. I'm a hustler.
That's money, though.
That's money. Because even with the property, so you really didn't, you lost something because of the 72 plants, of course, but. You got paid for your property, and I'm pretty sure you got what you paid for it or more.
I lost on it because they couldn't, nobody, because at the time, they wouldn't let nobody grow on it, anybody really want to buy it.
That's crazy. And I bet you they're growing all kind of shit in that property now.
Probably now.
It might be now. Those from years back, but I jumped in the game. I jumped in and went at it.
Have you ever had any reservations? So you're not fucking with it no more then?
On stocks, I got a bunch of weed stocks and stuff like that. I bunch of stocks and stuff, and a lot of it's in cannabis and stuff like that. Hopefully, it boom in the next couple of years or something, and I really get paid from it.
You know what, man? One thing I was thinking, I wish you could invest in our government, dog, because it seemed like they know how to go out and get money from every motherfucker body. You figure they tax some motherfuckers that go to work every day. These athletes, the way they tax them motherfuckers, an entertainment tax. Every city you in, they get to dig in your pockets. If you in a weed game, they taxing you for this, taxing you for that. It's like, how's a motherfucker supposed to stay legit?
It's hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to rap no more. You know what I'm saying? I gracefully bowed out. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like I had to stop rapping. I just gracefully bowed out. Like, hey, man, I had my fun, had my run. I made some money, smoked some of the best weed, fucked a bunch of bitches. Hey, I'm good. Seen a lot of states. I'm good. Met a lot of people. I'm good. I ain't got to do it no more. I got a platinum plaque on the wall to show my shit was a platinum plaque. I got platinum plaques on my wall back here to show that, hey, I've been successful to me. You know what I'm saying? Would I do it again or not or whatever? I'm successful to me. I made it to me.
Oh, well, yeah, you sure did, man. And the thing is, you sold a lot of records. One thing I was going to ask you, dog, how the hell did you get a print sample cleared? Because motherfuckers argue me down. I say, that's Little Red Corvette in the back of that record. You know what I mean? Yeah. That, yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Look at that. After we put it out, Universal got it. It's going up the chart. They called me. They try. Is that Prince on Little Red Corvette? I said, yep. You didn't tell us. I said, y'all ain't ass. He say they couldn't hear it. Everybody can hear it. Everybody can hear it. Because what we did, it came on a special 12-inch of Prince that he had put out. And we took it and replayed it and slowed it down. We replayed that. That's not actual sample. It's replayed.
Yeah, they replayed the hell out of that shit, man. Because you know what?
We replayed that. We remade that song like that. And then Prince was like, he heard it, you know, sent it to him. He's like, I like what they did. I don't want nothing from it.
That's how Prince operate. Either he go fuck with you or he not. That's what I heard, that he either go fuck with you or not. And he very much for the artist. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. There's too many of them out there like that, that look out like that. Like you, Lil Troy. You know how you look out for your people? Mm-hmm. Make sure everybody got money. Mm-hmm. It ain't too many that do that.
Oh, no, it ain't too many of them like that. And unfortunately, the ones that is like that, they usually wind up fucked up or dead. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother story, because Prince was on some shit, man. You know, you being in the music industry, Troy, you one of the few people that don't actually lick them at their own game and beat them at their own shit. Don't you find it odd, man? You look at Michael Jackson, all the because you know about publishing revenue, right?
Yep.
All that money Michael Jackson made, all that money Prince made, and them both of them motherfuckers was on some shit like, we don't need no record labels. We not fucking with y'all at all. At all. And they wind up dead. Do you think it was some kind of foul play possibly behind all that shit?
When there's that kind of money involved, ain't no telling. Because, you know, people don't like to pay out when there's that kind of money involved. And they had it in their control that they were able to take control of their own destiny at the time. And the white folks like, no, man, even cut us out.
Yeah, and then,
they don't like to see us cut them out.
And then, and collectively, they owed Michael Jackson and Prince so much money that if they would have to pay them all at once, they would have probably bankrupted their company. So they was just... So like you say, man, sometimes it's easier just to go tell a motherfucker night-night.
No, well, they just prey off our weaknesses.
On weaknesses? Oh, look, okay, I'm going to tell you somebody else that made a whole bunch of motherfucking money they don't fuck with. Master P. Master P made a whole bunch of motherfucking money off their motherfucking ass. He ain't off of their ass. They ain't, don't fuck with him. He's still doing his thing, living like he living, keep shit popping. And he P sold a bunch of motherfucking records, too.
Right. He did his motherfucking thing.
Huh?
He did his motherfucking thing. You know, the South as a whole, though, man. You know what I liked about the South, man? What I like about the South is, especially when Houston was doing their thing, is that you saw a whole bunch of black people just out there with their own shit, dog, just getting it and getting money and getting to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they just say, I'm independent. The money we split is splendid.
Because them niggas, because I swear, man, when Southwest Wholesale was cracking, James, Baby and them used to cash money. Baby and them used to go down there and get checks for $1 million, $2 million, dog. Niggas was getting it like that, man. Niggas that you would never hear outside of Texas, dog. Mm-hmm. Down there getting money like a motherfucker, living in big-ass mansions and shit.
Man, I used to have some in the pre-orders, man. I go through them, pick up checks like a motherfucker. I'm just on pre-order. Oh, I tell them, I'm finna get ready to work on a project. Give me $50,000. Give me $100,000. I'm finna work on this project before I get ready to put it out. He said, like, yeah, all right, well, I know you're going to put it out. Yeah, I'm going to put it out. I got it. He'll drop a check. Robert will drop $40,000, $50,000 to you, you know what I'm saying? Because he know you're going to sell 8,000, 10,000 records, and his money back already at $8, $10 a record at the time, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like the streaming right now. They get 0.01 cent a stream and shit,
yeah,
you know?
That shit fucked up now.
That shit so fucked up. That's why I stopped the game. I'm like, man, I don't like this here, man. Who making the money off this shit? Because the artist show ain't making the money. Yeah, not off this year.
And you gotta sell billions of streams. You gotta do billions of streams to see some money.
I'm selling CDs. I buy a car or through software wholesale and getting $8 a CD or $10 on my own. At $8 a CD, I ain't gotta sell that many fucking CDs to make no money. You feel me?
Man, I'm telling you, they fucked the game up because them times used to be so good, James. A nigga, you didn't have to be a famous rapper. You could sell 25,000 units and have a bankroll.
Yeah. So you say they did it like that just to take the money out of our pocket?
You know what? I think initially it was just technology, right? I think, you know, yeah, the technology, the internet, the ability to deliver music fast like that was intriguing at first. Then I think them white folks saw a way that, okay, it's a way we could lick the game with this, because the way they pay the artists on that shit, the only people making money, dog, really every month is the streaming sites. Yeah, they gotta pay for the licensing and all that shit, dog. But they getting money from a motherfucking title every month.
Once again, why would you put your shit on there? Out there like that, and you know you ain't finna get paid off.
It's a couple of artists that tell motherfuckers, don't put my shit on none of them sites. A nigga want my shit, they gotta come buy it from me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could do it like that too, but eventually all of them dudes eventually fold and they wind up putting their shit on there because they wind up seeing that the physical game ain't there like it once was. You know, when they took the stores down, man, when I saw Warehouse Music close down, I said, it's done. I said, it's a wrap now. Mm-hmm. When they closed Tower, Warehouse, and all that shit, I said, it's a wrap now. Sam Goody used to be record stores in every country, yeah, on every corner. I had a record store. Big A had one in Compton. He had Underworld Records. I had Flavor for Year in Paramount. When that shit was done, dog, it was done, dog. The good old days was done. But you know what, though? I'm going to tell you something. These young cats don't figure out a way to make that internet work for them. There's some young cats out there making some money. There's some cats making some bread.
Yeah. But see, best thing to do instead of put on a streaming service like that, go to YouTube and monetize your station, your channel and stuff, and run all your music and everything through there. Yeah, that's one of the best ways right there.
That's the best thing. You know, Troy, I know you on the hustling tip. That's why I told you. I said, we going to keep it G, dog. We ain't going to talk about no whole bunch of music. We are, because it's a big part of who you are, but we're going to talk about your hustling days. You know, I'm going to go back to that SERP thing. Do you think SERP in the state of Texas was more valuable than cocaine at one time?
Yep. To all the hustlers. Because nigga was hustling cocaine to make sure they had SERP because they thought that was the coolest thing to do. You know what I'm saying? They think about you drinking syrup, that's the coolest thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, and you think you're having a good time, you're chilling, and you know what I'm saying? But nah, you wasn't really chilling. I remember I came home one day and I had some syrup, right? Mm-hmm. And I would think my mom say, what you got in that bottle? I said, yeah, a little syrup in here, you know what I'm saying? Sipping a little syrup. She's like, oh, boy, we used to put you to sleep with that syrup back in the day. We used to buy them little bottles, 8 bottles and stuff, and give you some because you used to talk all the goddamn time. We put your ass to sleep. I said, for real? I'm like, she said, I'm going to tell you something else, too. You call yourself want to be a ladies' man, right? You want to jump in this bed and that bed and please your lady? You better leave that syrup alone. I stopped fucking with it right then.
Yeah, that's so
my mama told me the syrup going to kill my nature. And it killed a lot of these natures around this motherfucker back then. Early.
Man, mm-hmm. You know, and that's a wicked-ass drug, dog, because man, when you on them opioids, James, you ever known a nigga to sink serpent shit?
Yeah.
That's just the wicked shit, because they have where a motherfucker can't take a shit no more, dog.
Yeah, they tested up.
They can't take a shit no more, dog. That's why they guts start getting all out here and shit, man, like that. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers, you overdose on that shit, you can't breathe. I don't see motherfuckers damn near die, dog. It's like they just, lungs just collapse, dog. They overdose on that shit.
Well, fuck me up, though. They go to sleep on it. I don't want no drugs making me go to sleep. I want to be up. I want to be seeing what's going on. I got to be aware. I got to be on top of what's going around me. But when you on that, sir, you be at the red light, you be sitting in the chair, you be in the line in a Whataburger, and you start gnawing out and shit. I'm not doing that.
Is the SERP still cracking like that down there? Is the key is fucking with it and stuff? Not the look kids, but you know.
I'm gonna be honest. They still fuck with it, but I don't know what they fuck with it and what they do. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't live my life in that type of circle no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
So my niggas that I fuck with, they don't do syrup. Yeah, they don't do syrup. They don't do cannibal. They don't do that shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
And it's one thing I'm gonna tell people, because I don't judge what people do, man. I don't judge nobody's life, what they do. I just wish them the best. But with that syrup, man, it leads to where after a while, the syrup ain't gonna do nothing for you no more. And it's really what we're doing is creating a whole nother generation of heroin addicts. Because what happens is when people can't get them, when people can't get that syrup, they can't get them pills, they're too much money. You know, pills cost money. You say pills, you go pay some serious bread for those. And you know, if three or four ain't doing it no more, man, you can go get you some of that brown heroin, and that's when niggas start that shit. And it's damn near impossible to kick that shit, man. Like, we gonna lose a whole generation of people, man, if we don't wise up with
that
shit.
It ain't just us, though. It's
everybody. It's the country. Yeah.
That shit, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It ain't just us. I think we just need to wake up and be more cautious to what the shit is doing to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we got more to lose than the next people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. Because I had
a whole lot to lose.
I had a big ass bottle of Serp Dog in my cabinet for the longest. Like one of them big ass, you know, them big ass liters they give you.
Yeah.
I went for my asthma one time and they gave me that and a bunch of shit I had up in the cabinet. I took maybe one thing that shit that knocked me out so much. I took a teaspoon and was asleep for like 12 hours, dog.
Still got it?
Man, that motherfucker gone, dog. That shit gone.
I'm about to say, I'll come over there and get
tell
that
you what happened, right? I'll tell you what happened. Now, this shit had been sitting in my cabinet about 4 or 5 years. When the homies come by, and I take the shit out because I'm looking for something else in the pantry, right? And he see that, he say, "Still, you know what this is you got, right?" I said, "Yeah, I know what it is."
That purple?
He said, "Let me get it, dog." He pulled out some money. I said, "Man, this shit 3-4 years old, dog. This shit probably ain't no good no more." Shit, you know, I let him go on and take it, dog. But shit, you know, it's like, man, that was something.
All he had to do is shake that shit up. That's all he had to do.
See, Troy said, "I'd have went out there, that motherfucker would have been gone.
Man.
That'd have been gone."
Hey, man, I can imagine what it's like hanging out with you, bro. Just a free spirit person. You know, I know you be out there having a good time, man. I know you be having a good time.
Well, I have a good time here and there. You know, I done got married and everything, and I got a beautiful, beautiful wife. Right. You know what I'm saying? We take care of a lot of business, you know what I'm saying? Last year, I went into a rental car business and bought a bunch of rental cars and stuff. So I've been renting the rental cars out there three months ago, I went to truck driving school, got my CDLs, and bought me 18-wheelers. So I'm finna buy a couple more 18-wheelers and stuff and hustle them, you know?
You're a businessman.
Man, you talking right up James Lane. I'm serious, Troy. We gonna come down there, dog, in the next, when we get this, that's what we do, James. When we get this other situation closed, we need to go down to Houston, dog.
Man.
We need to go down to Houston and do this live. Troy, you cool with that?
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, James, I ride a bike too, man. I got two of them. I got a 08 Heritage Softail. It's my slab bike. Big front end on it.
Yeah.
H, Farron Music. Bag is on the back. Fishtails and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you ain't never did no club?
Nah, then I got a 2020 Road Glide too.
Okay.
We finna ride tomorrow. We leave tomorrow evening about 4:00. We ride into Atlanta tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know, we need
Same
to do
trip out there, brother.
You know, we need to do though, James. We need to get with Troy and start the Houston. Have him do the Houston version of the stuff we got out here.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, I'm just getting back. I know you don't want to do no biker shit.
I had a podcast. Right here, this was the background of my podcast. Short Start Records, on my doze right here. I had a podcast I started, and then the COVID hit, and I didn't want people coming to my house. I didn't want to do all the thing. I really wanted to do it in person, and I had different people lined up, and then I just stopped doing it. You know, with me, I start something. If I ain't feeling the next week, whatever, I can that project, do something else.
I'm talking about getting on the motorcycles, man.
Yeah, he's talking about motorcycles. Rides, motorcycles, right?
I ain't trying to do no club though. I know everybody down there, all the clubs.
Right.
I'm not in the club. They be all asking me, man, you ain't even got a prospect. Just come in, Troy, come ride with us. I'll with y'all. But that's about it.
See, Troy, one of them niggas that niggas want around, no dog. Troy the type of nigga you want to kick it with.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I just want a free spirit ride when I want to ride.
That's right. That's the best. Yeah. That's the best time where you go where you want to go and just take your time getting there.
Well, big dog, I'm gonna tell you this: when we come down, we damn sure go recruit you. By the time we leave, you're gonna be talking about, well, when we go open up the place, we gonna get it cracking.
They go. I don't know if you can see it, but now you gonna be with that damn thing. Now, what the damn camera? No, you can't see it. Anyway, that's my slab bike right there.
I see it.
See, it say in the back on the two impact. It say shortstop. It say a baller shot caller. It light up at night when you're going down the street. It light up.
Yeah, see, he got some shit. Yeah,
tour packs, all that. I mean, we ride. I ride, have fun, but that's about it. I ain't trying to.
What kind of music you got on that thing?
I got 4/10s, 4 6x9s, and 4 5x8s.
He out there beating down the block.
How many amps you running?
Three.
Three amps?
Yeah.
That ain't bad. One for your set?
I got one for the 4/10s woofers.
Yeah.
One for the 4 6x9s and one for the 5 1/4 in the fairing.
Right. I'm running two.
Yeah.
That's
my goal. We ain't be bumping.
Yeah.
I mean, my Road King, that motherfucker, it sound better than everybody that got 19 speakers on their bike.
I'm thinking about redoing mine because I heard some other people that was jamming. I'm like, damn, that nigga hitting, he got me, damn. But then I don't know if my shit tuned up right. You know what I'm saying? You got certain places that know how to tune the music up right too. So, but I'm happy with it myself.
Right.
Look, I'm happy with it myself. When I'm riding down the street, my baby on the back, we come like the seal. You know what I'm saying? My shit up like the seal.
Right.
If I cut out like I'm an easy rider or something, you feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Troy, so we appreciate you, man, because I know it's late over there, dog. We appreciate you coming on here and chopping it up with us, big dog. Where can the people reach out to you at, man? Is Lil Troy even active online? Like, where can they get at you at, man?
Yeah, I jump on every so often and say something here and there. Lil Troy OG, that's it. At Instagram, Twitter. I don't never be on Twitter that much ever, but I've been on Instagram and Facebook. They can hit me up at Lil Troy too on Facebook. That's about it.
For sure, you know,
dog. I don't just post a lot of shit all the time. If I do post, I done went and did it and came back, then I posted. You know what I'm saying? So, like, right. I'm going to go to Atlanta trip. I won't post nothing while I'm down in Atlanta. When I get back, I might throw some pictures up of the Atlanta trip. They be like, man, you out of town? Now I'm back now. You know what I'm saying? So.
Just doing your shit.
I don't let nobody know where I'm at all the time. You know, I don't just post up every time I go somewhere. Everything I do, I don't live my life on the ground.
Yeah, you damn sure can't, because what these people don't know, they got some cats, dog, they can find up. When you post the pictures of you eating over here and there, niggas can pull up your pictures and find out where your location is at and come pull up on you.
Right. Yeah. Well, you take that ride to Atlanta, you be safe and keep them wheels down, my brother. Keep the music bumping and keep cracking. So,
yeah,
you know, man, you be safe out there.
All right. Hey, man, I appreciate y'all having me on this show, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't finna do it at first. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm glad you did it, dog. That's what made me want you even more. When a nigga don't want to do some shit to be on the thing, I said, man, come on, tell her we cool. And I had to tell him, I had to pull my boy Mix's card out. I said, man, I'm Mr. Mix's homie.
Hey, but see, I live a different lifestyle now. You feel what I'm saying? Right. So I don't just be out trying to do all the podcasts and all this here being. I gotta be at every show that go on that people don't. I enjoy my life. I'm 55 years old right now. You feel me?
But so, don't you think that this right here, this show right here, a lot of people is gonna be enlightened by what you said, and everybody gonna be able to see that you can still be a gangster without the bullshit and still make your money and do your thing.
For real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you, they're gonna be like, "Oh man, that Lil Troy, man." Okay,
they've been asking me to do a movie about my life. They know when I got a people that they come, man, I help you do it. I'll help you write it. I'll help produce. I do whatever. I don't see. But my wife even saying, you know, they try to get me to do the TV show. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, I won't live my life on a TV show. I don't want to do that. But I really want my grandbabies to tell my story. Now, she said I'm wrong for that because she said, you need to tell your story in the first person because you know more of your story than they're going to ever know about you. But that means they just got to do a lot of research and find podcasts like this here.
No, you got to, you got to leave a blueprint, though. You got to leave them. You got to leave them. You got to leave them with that diary of Lil Troy. So when they read the diary, everything else is easy because they already got this right here.
Yeah.
So just leave them a little blueprint.
I never thought about that. You know, leave a diary for them to put the story right. You know, my wife say, "Baby, you done did so much everywhere you go. Look, I'm telling you right now. You know, we have to wear masks right now everywhere we go, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have on a mask on, hat on, everything. What up, OG? What up, Latroy? I'm like, I'm glad I ain't rob y'all shit. I can't rob or do nothing to nobody because motherfuckers just know me, I guess, by my eyes or whatever. Hey. I be out of town. Everywhere we go, people be like, that's OG. Hey, what's up, Detroit? How the hell you know me, man? I got a mask on, bro.
The way you wear your hat, the way you walk, you know, everybody got their own signature walk. And they know who you are. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
God damn it. I let this goddamn cigars back place close.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
I smoke cigars.
Well, man, let me let you go on and get to your cigars.
Cool. I'm like, y'all go too. Hey, man, I appreciate this, bro. Man. I'm going to tell Kansas. Hey, Kansas, you know, good looking out. Maybe y'all good looking out, man. You know, like I said, further I'm going to do it. But he told me who it was and a good friend of his and this and that. There ain't going to be no bullshit ass podcast. I said, all right.
Man, let me ask you too, man. Are you glad you did it, big dog?
Yeah,
I'm glad. I'm glad you came on, dog. I told you it was gonna be some grown man shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was.
You know, I appreciate it, dog. And, hey, and let's set up something though, dog. Me and James go hit Houston, dog. Like, and usually eight on the show. Eight is coaching football, and they in their little two-a-day stuff now, so they practicing it now at this time. But we will come down to the Houston, dog. We want you to be the whole catalyst of that. You know what I'm saying?
I help y'all out. And if y'all ever want to do a football, you know, I got a little league football team too. You know what I'm saying? I got a little league too, I sponsor.
Oh, for sure. Well, man, let's set something up. We set a game up with eight team and your team.
Nigga, I done won a Super Bowl. I took 14 to the Super Bowl. Two of the teams won the Super Bowl.
Is that right? Man, yeah. I don't know, man. We bring them California boys down there. They go bring the noise, dog. They say Texas got some ballers, though.
I know y'all team probably got driving records and shit, the records and shit. Y'all gotta bring some
and shit. No, we ain't doing no shit now. Yeah. We gonna come down, Troy. I'm asking you, man. I appreciate you, big bro.
All right.
All the time.
All right, for sure.
Peace.
Okay, that concludes another episode of Gangsta Chronicles podcast. We had a homeboy, little Troy, on there today, man. James, Troy a cool brother, man.
100
all day. He won the You know how I feel about doing a bunch of rappers now, dog. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's so many layers to his story, dog, and I think he should put that story out there, dog.
But see, a lot of people fail to realize that each man out there, each every individual has their own life, has a story to their life, every last one of us. And it's going to be different. You know what I'm saying? Some of them are just like his is. You know what I'm saying? Like when people say how my story is, you know, you just got that handful that can teach everybody in one sit down.
Yeah, for sure. And there it is, man. And I'm glad he did the interview, man. Little Troy, y'all. Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find that purple mic on the front screen of your phone, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and a rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles are Norm Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MC8 Taylor. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt. The show's audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. Any questions or comments, hit us up at thegangstachroniclespodcast@gmail.com. Peace. Be safe out there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.